Let's go to hour number two. Welcome to the program. It is the Jim Rome Show. I am Jim Rome. I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. I'll just say it for the record. And I'm not sure how it's going to go after I say it, but I just want to say this. I hope that Lance Stephenson is half as happy to talk to me as I am to him. Because this guy's an amazing story. He's had an amazing career, and his comeback has been amazing. He's going to join me in 20 minutes from right now, and I'm hyped on that. Pacers shooting guard Lance Stephenson coming up at 10:20. Then we are wide open until the last segment of the show, Chris Mundy. And this one's off the board because we can and because it's a great show. The executive producer, the EP of Ozark, Chris Mundy, joins me at 11:40. So let me reset you really quickly. 1-800-636-8686. You can also hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. You can email me still at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I'm going to get into the Pats and the Bills and what I expect to happen in Buffalo. It's going to be cold. The elements are going to be fierce. Again, really quickly, some reaction. At SGM509 tweets, Rome, what an inspirational interview with at Coach Cooley PC. Just wow. I don't really follow a college basketball team, but I do now. Hashtag Go Providence. That is really high praise. At Brian Indian 63. You need to invest in hand and foot warmers. Stick them in your gloves and your shoes and thank me later. You know, I do know about that now. Again, you know my background, right? You know that we had a home in Montana, Big Sky, Montana, for a decade. I used to spend Christmas there, so I know. I did not know back in the day. I had no idea what a foot warmer was or a hand warmer. I didn't know about any of that stuff. I'm a native Los Angelino. Like, I didn't know to stick those things at the bottom of my boot. I didn't know to stick those things in my gloves. I've told you this a million times. The first time I went to Green Bay, Wisconsin in the 90s, somebody gave me some hand warmers. And I started to open them up and dump them into my coffee. They're like, no, idiot. Idiot, it's not creamer. You want to die? Time to die.
Time to die.
I'm like, good, I drink my coffee black anyway. They're like, no, idiot. Just put them in your gloves. Put them in your shoes. Oh, why didn't you say so? I don't even own a jacket. I live in Southern California. Dear Jim, for your upcoming NFL playoff weekend, I suggest you do an internet search comprised of the words heated vest. You're welcome. Now, that's something I didn't know about. Does that exist? All right. Brad in Detroit. My man David August, I wonder why he's never told me that. He's got to have a heated vest. You know what I need? I need a heated suit. Not a heated vest. I need a heated suit. Do you plug it in? What's it run off of? Is it a battery pack? Is there like a Mophie for the suit? Wouldn't laconic. I also rock a single contact lens. Signed, Sandy Duncan. Nothing more wooden nor and laconic nor idiotic than that take. That should be your new handle, at idiotic. Instead of wooden laconic, just at idiotic.
You're an idiot.
And a fat ass. The whole Sandy Duncan thread has always been a mystery to me. Like, you like Wheat Thins? You like them? You like Wheat Thins? Why are you always talking about... Oh, she has a single
you
eye.
Like that?
Oh, that's funny.
You like that?
Good stuff. And by good stuff, I mean really stupid stuff. Do better. Hashtag do a hell of a lot better. All right, so Patriots Bills. I'm not going to let you bring me down. I'm going to raise all of you up. Patriots, Bills, Saturday night in Buffalo. First of all, how many of you members of the Bills Mafia are already tailgating? Are already there? Are already getting revved up, fueled up, lubed up, doing whatever it is you do to get ready for games like that? It's Thursday. Saturday night is the game. How many of you are already prepping? Single-digit temps, sub-zero wind chill. If you didn't already know, this is a big, big deal. I mean, first of all, if you didn't already know, the hell is wrong with you? How could you not know? Secondly, if you didn't know how big of a deal this is, the Hood himself, no less an authority than the Hood himself, let you know yesterday. And how? By doing this. This dude showed up to meet with the media in a completely different manner than he normally does. Normally, sitting through a Bill Belichick presser is worse than sitting through a root canal. It's the most tedious, painful thing ever. If you're bored out your ass, that's a big win for this dude. He knows that. He wants that. Because while nobody is better at coaching, nobody is worse at press conferencing. Except for Joe Judge, and he's out of our lives now. Almost. In terms of Belichick, he's got this thing down to a science. Generally, it's nothing more than a bunch of grumbling, muttering, and grunting that nobody can comprehend. And it's by design. You know he's thinking. And Tiger Woods used to do the same thing back in the day. You know, these are a couple of really, really interesting people, really bright people, saying as little as possible to get the rest of us to go away as quickly as possible. You know the Hood is thinking, if I never, ever say anything, and I bore the bleep out of all these sheep, maybe they'll stop coming around. Maybe they'll stop asking questions. Maybe I will never have to do this ever again.
We're getting ready for Cincinnati. Stupid thing.
Not all honesty. Really not too much to say.
No, I made the...
In all honesty, that's how it always goes with this guy. Hey, radio man, you're a real smart guy, aren't you? Well, that's why you're behind a radio, and I'm here being the goat.
I'm not going to go back and rehab.
That's how it goes with this guy. That's how it always goes with this guy. Except not yesterday. Incredibly, not yesterday. See, yesterday, the Hood had a point that he wanted to make. Yesterday, a message that he wanted to send. And the message was loud and clear because he rolled into that media session rocking a Danger Zone sweatshirt. I mean, I could not believe what I was seeing. Literally could not believe what I was seeing. Did not believe what I was seeing. Like, did somebody shop that hood or that graphic in there somehow? Look at the Hood man rocking the Danger Zone sweatshirt with the Top Gun graphic. All right, not just something he pulled out of a hamper and hacked off the sleeves on. I mean, this is intentional. Look at that. Are you watching on CBS Sports Network? I mean, tight, clean. Look how clean that is. The Danger Zone hoodie. Who knew that dude had that in him? That said, damn right he broke that out. You know he broke that out. Because Maverick Belichick knows that his crew is going on the road to Buffalo in front of 74,000 screaming, liquored up, shirtless fans. He knows what that atmosphere is going to be like. What I'm saying is the hoodie knows he's in the danger zone. Of course this dude is channeling his inner Mav. Would it surprise anybody at all if this guy were to break out in a dead sprint, running high the way Mav does in every single movie he's ever made? Has Mav ever not run in a movie?
That's right.
Would it surprise anybody at all if Maverick Belichick ran to the nearest pier, dropped down three quarters, and launched Goose's dog tags with the most unathletic throwing motion ever known to mankind? After exhibiting the most unathletic running motion ever known to mankind. Belichick is Mav. All swagger, all confidence, cocky as hell, not willing to listen to anybody at all, knowing he's going to get the girl and buzz the freaking tower, even if the pattern is full. Hey, Buffalo Mafia, man, would you get a load of this dude? Would you get a load of this dude? What an insane fit. For the GOAT. What an insane attitude. Throwing on Mavs gear midweek before one of the biggest games ever in Buffalo. Hell, I'm shocked this guy didn't start that presser by showing up in a Josh Allen jersey, ripping it off his back and lighting it on fire. The hell has gotten into Mav Belichick? Wait, I'll answer. I know exactly what's gotten into this dude. The Bills. They're in this dude's head. Otherwise, he would not be tricking around on his motorcycle, in a leather jacket, acting like Mav. Just because Belichick and the Patriots have lost three of their last four does not mean the hood can't get back in the saddle and can't engage. I'll tell you something else. Just because they've lost three of their last four doesn't mean that his name is on the plaque down in the ladies' room. Everybody knows what's at stake. And nobody more so than Maverick Belichick. The only remaining question was, where did Maverick get that hoodie? And who was going to be the legend to pose that question to him?
Real quick, I wanted to ask, where did you get that sweatshirt? What's the origin of it?
The player said it's something that the players did for a couple of years ago.
Thanks, Mav. Great story, bro. Awesome story. Apparently, it's something from the Pats special teams unit back in 2019. You know what that might have been, honestly? And I don't want to read too deeply into things, but what that might have been was a subtle shout-out to former special teams coordinator and recently unemployed disaster, Joe Judge. Because Judge's time with the Giants was about as successful as Goose's ejection from the cockpit.
This ain't some clown show organization.
Remember when Goose tried to eject and his brain splattered all over the inside of the cockpit? It's a warning to Buffalo and to the rest of the league. Bill Belichick wants that spot at Miramar, and he's going to do anything he can to get it. And if things do work out for Belichick and Buffalo, it means that that post-game press conference is going to involve a shirtless, greased-up Belichick and Stevie playing two-on-two volleyball in their jeans, in the sand, with lots of grease. Great scene. Bunch of dudes in jeans in 150-degree weather, greased up, spiking and flexing. Find me a better scene in any movie. Speaking of Joe Judge, man, that dude's ego was writing checks that his coaching simply cannot cash.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Hey, you check the weather? Have you all checked the weather for this weekend? I know Coach Belichick has. Maverick Belichick knows that because of the elements, because of the weather, it's too close for missiles. He's going to have to switch to guns.
You're too close for missiles, Goose. I'm switching to guns.
Mac Jones is switching to guns. I'll tell you something else. You know if they lose this weekend, Bill is going to want some butts.
Damn it! Pats twice! I want some butts!
And all the free agents on the Pats will be off that roster next year and flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog bleep right out of Hong Kong.
You screw up just this much, you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
Rubber dog bleep. Hey, you remember, Buffalo v. New England. Whoever wins this weekend, there are no points for second place.
There are no points for second place.
And the truth is, your plaque will be in the ladies' room.
The plaque for the alternates is down in the ladies' room.
Oh, you kill me. You really do.
He knows. He knows what's up. There's no way he shows up like that. And Rich Kane tweets, for a heated suit, go to my tailor. Tell them I sent you. Signed, John Wick. P.S. will also be bulletproof. That's the truth, isn't it? I love my guy, David August.
Yeah,
amazing clothier.
I'm thinking I'm back.
But if there was not a David August, I would definitely be hitting up Wick for his clothier. Trader Brent, Jimbo, if I see the hood knocking the volleyball around shirtless with Iceman and Slider, I am never going to be able to get nice again. Oh, he will. If they win, I would expect that in the presser. He and Steven.
Slider.
Shirtless, in their jeans, greased up, throwing it down, talking junk, flexing. If they go into Buffalo and they do the Bills, he's got every right to do it, and I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't. Except I don't see it happening. You just know the hood will be like, Steven, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
He'll be like, hey, Sean, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
I love the Bills in that matchup. No offense, Chow Nation. I love the Bills. But if Belichick does what he does, and what he does is make really good quarterbacks look bad. If he can do that again Saturday night, he's going to be like, hey, Josh, you stink.
Slider, you stink.
Love that matchup. Love it. When we come back, I'm going to effort Lance Stevenson. Amazing story in and of himself. That's coming up next. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. We are talking to Born Ready on the other side of this break.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Rolling through this Thursday. I am Jim Rome. I'm live in Southern California. And I mentioned, I say it for the record, and I'll say it with him right now on hold. I hope this guy is half as into talking to me as I am to talking to him, because I'm excited about this. He is a guard for the Indiana Pacers. 6 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds in last night's game against Boston. He is averaging 14 points and 5 assists with the Pacers this season. He won 4 straight city titles at Lincoln High. He broke Sebastian Telfair's career scoring record at Lincoln. He was the 40th pick back in 2010 out of Cincinnati. Phoenix is at Indiana tomorrow. Lance Stevenson is my guest. Lance, great to have you on. How are you? Hey, Lance. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, dude. How are you?
I feel great.
It is great to have you on. I got to ask you, last night's game may not have gone the way you had hoped as a team, but I have to know, what has the return of the Pacers been like for you? Because it's been something for the rest of us to really see. How would you describe the experience for you? What's it been like?
Man, it's a blessing, man. I was off for 2 years, and I had to grind and work out and go to the G League and got back moving and playing at game speed. And now I'm doing here in at hometown, doing a 10-day and proving myself and going out there and performing and learning my teammates and having a great time. And all we're missing is wins. And, you know, it takes time, and getting to learn my teammates every day. And I feel like the more we get to learn each other, the games become easier.
Lance Stevenson joining us. I want to get into that journey, that grind, the price that you paid to get back. But I want to ask you about this, and I'm going to be real. Like, they pay me not to root. I got to be objective. But I got to admit, man, even I was really fired up by that 20-point quarter that you had against the Nets at home. Can you kind of share the emotion of the night? What was running through you that evening, and especially in that quarter?
Man, I was so thrilled and so excited to play that game and just to be back in the NBA and playing high professional basketball. And, man, you know, you hit that first shot and it goes straight in. You know, every shot after that, you feel like it's going to go in. And I just had that feeling throughout the game. And if it wasn't for my teammates hyping me up and getting open shots and hitting them with screens to get me open, man, I wouldn't make those shots. So I'm just excited. I'm happy. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be playing. And I'm just so excited right now.
Lance Stevenson joining us. Lance, the bond between you and the Pacer fans is really unique. It's really special. For instance, when you came back as a Laker, the Pacers crowd was chanting Born Ready. How would you describe that connection that you have with the Pacer fans?
It's like family. You know, they see me grow here. They watch me become the player that I am now. And they just love that hard, aggressive basketball, that passion, that willing to do anything to win. And I felt like we connected in that way because, you know, Indiana is all about grinding, being the underdogs and pushing and doing the dirty work to win games. And it just, we just fell in love with each other throughout the years. Just that passionate of basketball.
We're talking to Lance Stephenson. They do love that grind. They love that attitude. So after your time with the Lakers, you played in China, and then you had a number of options, but you decided to come back to the U.S., and as you mentioned, Lance, you decided to play in the G League. Listen, that is not an easy thing to do. The conditions are tough. The locker rooms are small, and so on and so on. In fact, very few guys in your position with your resume, I think, would be willing to do something like that. Why were you, and what was that like?
I mean, I play basketball anywhere. It don't matter where I'm playing at. And I had a mission. My mission was to get back to NBA and going to the G League. I know a lot of guys in my caliber will say, oh, I already proved myself and I already did all this. You guys know my game. But I didn't take it that way. I took it as, man, I've been sitting on the couch just working out, and I wasn't in that game speed shape, and it takes a lot. So I felt like the G League got me back to getting in shape, getting me going up and down, getting me learning the defensive schemes and learning how to, not learning, but playing that professional basketball again. And I feel like I needed to go that route to get to where I'm at right now.
We're talking to Lance Stephenson. You know, you went that route, and then you get back in, you get the opportunity. We talked about the 20-point first quarter. There was a 30-point night overall. Then in your next game, you had 16 points and 14 assists. Rick Carlisle has been raving about how unselfish you are and the energy you bring to it, and you're also putting up really big numbers. Like, seems like kind of a weird thing to say, but in a way, do you feel like you're playing some of the best ball of your entire career right now?
No, I feel like I'm very comfortable, and it's all about communication with the coaches and your teammates and knowing where they're going to be at and knowing your teammates when they're going to shoot. And I felt like I learned that within 3 days of being around these guys. And I feel like these guys just want to win and want to work hard. So when I came in, I talked to coach, and he told me what he needed from me. I learned the plays as quickly as possible, watch a lot of film. And when you do stuff like that and get in the gym, I mean, the game become easier. The game becomes slower. You get to think quicker, and the speed of how you think, you know, getting somebody open or going to the hole or on the defensive end become faster. So I felt like when I got to the Pacers, the communication skills was on point.
Lance Stephenson joining me for a few more moments. I think that one of the reasons, in fact, I know so, you and I just talked about it, but one of the reasons the fans love you so much is because you will do anything to win, and you're going to battle for everything on the floor. Back in the day, as an example, you had some amazing, intense battles with the Miami Heat. When you think back to those days, what were those matchups like? How intense did that get?
Man, those matches was intense, man. That was like my best basketball in my career. Like that moment playing in the playoffs and in the fans, and that's probably like the highest level of basketball you get to. And I mean, it's a great experience. We didn't win, but we got to game seven two years in a row. I mean, it's just incredible. Just to have that experience as a young basketball player. And I felt like those experiences helped these younger guys coming up to learn the game a little bit quicker, because I've been in that footstep.
We're talking to Lance Stephenson. So Lance, everything's different, but when you talk about those matchups and the intensity and the ferocity, how would that compare, for instance, to when you used to guard Kobe? Because I've heard you say that you got chills when you used to guard him because you knew there was no margin of error at all. What was it like to go up against him, and what kind of expectation did you have then?
Just going against him, just going against somebody that you look up to and you've seen as a young kid and try to do their moves and stuff like that. And then you actually get to the lead and you're there one-on-one with them and trying to pressure up on them, trying to stop them. And it was just like a great experience. And, you know, it was tough guarding him. You know, he got counter moves after counter moves, and I mean, it was a great experience, and I got to talk with him a little bit and pick his brain. And I mean, he's a dog, and you know, it's good to learn stuff from people of that caliber.
Lance Stevenson joining us. Before you go, Lance, one last topic, because I'm always fascinated by this. I mentioned off the top that in terms of your accomplishments, one of them, some of them, your most legendary ones, was the fact you had this incredible high school career, one of the best ever in New York history. I could talk to you for an hour about those days, but let me just ask you this. You grew up on the courts of Coney Island. What did you learn during that time, and how much did that shape who you are as a player?
Growing up in Coney Island, you know, it's tough. You just can't go on a court and play basketball. There's always kids out there, and you have to be tough enough and you have to battle to be able to play on that floor. And I always had the tough end of the stick, and I always had to play against the older guys. And I felt like the older guys got me to the point where I was tough enough to play at any type of level. And just growing up in the New York streets, it's always a grind, and there's always a battle. And you just can't come on the court. And I felt like I took that attitude and brought it to the professional level.
So one last thought, and you've been awesome. You played your high school ball at Abraham Lincoln, following in the footsteps of guys like Stephon Marbury and Sebastian Telfair. You won 4 straight titles. You broke Telfair's scoring record. When you think back on those days, what was that like? What do you remember the most?
Man, those days was fun. You know, just grinding and not knowing what to expect, but just going hard and playing basketball and not knowing one day I'll make it. Just every day just hoping that I'll make it. That's just it's just a blessing that I'm here today. And, you know, those days are the fun days, you know, just playing basketball, learning it, playing against other high school players, traveling. And that's like the beginning stage of being a professional. And I felt like I learned that early.
It's an incredible journey, an amazing story, and it is not done yet. He was the 40th pick way back in 2010 out of Cincinnati. Lance Stevenson, averaging 14 points and 5 assists with the Pacers this season. Lance, I appreciate you. That was awesome. I've been looking forward to that. Great to have you on the show, and I appreciate you making time for it. Lance, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
That was great. That was so much fun. Appreciate you. I mean, I really appreciate him. What a great story. Lance Stevenson made it all the way back, willing to fight through the G League, got the opportunity and making the most of it and playing at a really high level, and making a difference. And beloved in Indiana. Looking ahead, now we are open until 11:40, which is the last segment of the program, meaning wide open. Anything you want to talk about, come in here. Get up in here. Have I not done my job? Have I not given you enough to talk about? 1-800-636-8686. Use the telephone. Get up in here. If you're afraid to do that or you've got no need for that, hit me up on social media at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveitake.com. I want to thank Lance Stevenson for that great interview. The Pacers for working to make that happen. That was fun. Having a good old time. I'll tell you who's not having a good time. Well, actually a better time now. Joe Judge had a big-ass pizza party. I want to talk about how that went. That's still ahead. Stay tuned. First up, here is your sports update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Sports Flash.
Well, Jim, the Vikings have an interesting name in their GM search, reportedly asking permission to talk to Eagles Vice President of Football Operations, Catherine Raich. It's believed to be the first GM interview request of a woman. Juju Smith-Schuster back at Steelers practice today. He's been out since mid-October with a shoulder injury, and Whitney Mercilus returning to Packers practice, surprisingly. Colts GM Chris Ballard doesn't seem sold on Carson Wentz, saying that at the time of the trade, it seemed like the right decision, that there were things that Wentz did well this year, and some things he needs to do a lot better. The Hawks have reportedly sent former first-round pick Cam Reddish to the Knicks along with Solomon Hill. In return, they get a protected first-round pick this year via Charlotte and Kevin Knox. The Memphis Grizzlies coming off one of their best wins yet, knocking off the Warriors, and look to extend their franchise winning streak to 11 tonight against the Timberwolves. The Warriors, meanwhile, look to recover from that setback when they continue their road trip in Milwaukee. The defending champs have struggled lately with losses in 4 of 5, and the Nets look to build on their biggest and best win of the year, a 26-point rout of the Bulls. The top...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show
on CBS Sports Radio.
Take a moment to remind you clones that not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags, so you can sample different flavors to find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? I'm still hyped on Lance Stevenson. Really happy with that conversation. Really pleased with how that went. Hope you like that too. All right, so I did see this story and somebody referenced this. Romy, preparing for the cold. Forget the parka. Just pop some Viagra. That'll get the circulation going, according to Bart Scott. Quote, a lot of NFL players do it. Sincerely, clones in sweatpants. Gavin in South Bend. Non-Irish fan. Can't wait. I actually did see that story where Bart said that Josh Allen should do that. I don't know if that's true or not. In fact, I'd never heard that before. If Bart says so, then it probably is true. I like Bart. I trust Bart. And if Bart says it's true, and it is true, I will absolutely be doing it myself before the AFC Championship game. Now, understand this. I don't need that crap. I will never need that crap. Not, I don't want to say it's crap. I'm just saying I don't need it, and I won't need it. And if you're going to say to me, how do you know, Rome? You might not now, but what? No, I know. I will never need that. When I'm 90, I won't need that. I just know. However, if it helps in cold weather, I will be loading up. I'll be smoking it. I'll be mainlining it. I'll freebase it. I'll do whatever it is you druggies do with your drugs. Because I don't want to be that cold ever again. I'm still cold. I still can't feel three of my toes from that game in Kansas City a couple of years back. Like, I'm still not right.
Feet.
At Orlasco tweets, Tan Smack, Lance Stevenson, grinding every day. We can relate. Signed, Pervin and Kodak Black. Two totally different deals. What Kodak Black did was cool. What Pervin did got him fired. Well, that and among about 100 other things. Here's an interesting exchange between a couple of clones that went down in my mentions on Twitter. Wells, quote, the only reason Bill's Mafia is already tailgating is because none of those losers have jobs. Clubber Lang responded with, says the guy that sends Rome hundreds of tweets every day during the middle of the day.
Hey.
It's a good point, Lang, even if you spelled Rome incorrectly. I know that's a hard word to spell, Rome. I mean, you are on Twitter and you still spell my name wrong. How hard a name is that to spell? Rome. It's like spelling Lang wrong or Wells wrong. James Kelly can't believe how dumb that is. Speaking of James Kelly.
Winthrop.
So, I mean, even if you were to spell Winthrop wrong, that's a hard word. Not Rome. Rome may rhyme with foam, but it's not spelled like that. Come on, Einstein. Like the city, not the aimless wandering walk. There you go. Speaking of the head, though, normally on Fridays we have Big Head Bets. It's a segment that we do, staple of Fridays. I know you love that. What I'm doing is I'm taking it off the show, but I'm not taking it away. I'm giving it its own podcast because it's Super Wildcard Weekend and we need some space. So instead of waiting on that tomorrow, go look for it. If you haven't found the Jim Rome podcast, you're going to want to find it tomorrow. We have not done it yet. We want to wait as long as we possibly can to get the most up-to-date information and data. And then the Big Head and I are going to knock that out. That is tomorrow. Big Head Bets as part of the podcast. Let me get a telephone call in here. I was wondering where she was yesterday, because she's almost inevitably and always a part of the What's Your Beef segment. But it's such a popular segment, not everybody gets through, even though she usually does. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska. Kathleen in Omaha. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
Bruce Arians has the gall to say it would be a travesty if Sack of Muck doesn't win the MVP. Like, he needs to win anything else? He's not the GOAT. He's the LOAT, the luckiest of all time. The real travesty is Aaron is looking at more MVPs than Super Bowls, and yeah, they're getting players back on defense. I don't trust it. I don't trust them. Until they prove me wrong, I know better not to trust. And I so want to go back to hating football like I used to, but Aaron and Justin, they have this hold over me, making it difficult to hate football like I used to.
Racker. Kathleen's so funny. I tried to trick her, didn't I? When she, you know, she never acknowledges me, ever. So I tried to trick her by saying, hi, Kathleen, how are you? Didn't matter. Went right into her take. So in case you didn't understand that, she wants to hate football. She really, really wants to hate football, but it's impossible for her to hate football because she's thirsting so hard for, quote, Aaron and Justin. Apparently, she's on a first-name basis with both Aaron and Justin. Hey, Kathleen, what? What about Mike? Mike Glennon. Are you not on a first-name basis with him? What's wrong with him? Anyway, she wants to hate football, but she can't because of Aaron and Justin. And Tom Brady is not the GOAT, but rather the LOAT, the luckiest of all time. Yo, girlfriend, that's some straight fire. The LOAT. Switch to guns.
That's right.
I mean, luck's always involved. I think, though, that when you've won, like, 48 Super Bowls, it's a bit much to call the guy lucky. Pretty damn good. I could see where you think that he's pretty damn annoying. Yeah, how about this guy all of a sudden pushing out all this new gear? Have you seen his clothing line, his merch? Boring. He's good, though. You cannot say what you want about his personality. Say what you want about his social media. Say what you want about him being a big old nerd. Say what you want about him being so much more fascinating when he was a part of the Patriot way and was not allowed to say anything to anybody. You can say all those things and probably be accurate. But you can't deny what this guy's done on the field. The time he's put in, the preparation, how meticulous he is, how hungry he is, how dedicated he is. You cannot deny that. No matter what you think about him personally. And Kathleen, honestly, I mean, personal taste is personal taste, but you don't think that's a handsome guy, Tom Brady? Apparently not, because if she did, we would know it. She makes it very clear what she likes in a man, or the men she likes. Quote, Aaron and Justin. Anyway, from a football standpoint, she said, I want to believe and I want to trust and I know they're getting guys back on defense, but I just don't. I just don't. You know, this whole rap about Aaron Rodgers that, yeah, you ever notice how he only has one ring? You ever notice how he can't seem to win the NFC Championship game? Let me ask you something. You ever notice that it's not his fault? She's onto something. It's generally the defense. I'm not saying this guy's played perfectly in conference title games. I'm saying the defense has let him and them down time and time and time again. But they are getting healthy at the right time. He is going to be the MVP again. They do have good balance, and they're going to get that week off. That's going to be good for his toe and his recovery. And again, it's going to run through Lambeau. I understand it ran through Lambeau last year and they had a week off and it didn't matter. I understand they got the hell beat out of them by Frisco the year before. They're the team to beat right now. Certainly in the NFC and probably overall. For all the aforementioned reasons. It runs through Lambeau. They get that week off. He needs that week off. In fact, they all do. And they are getting healthy on defense. And he may walk off on that. But then again, maybe he won't. I never, ever would have thought it was possible that he would turn to Green Bay. He might. Never say never in that case. Of course, if they come up short, everybody will rush in and blame him and make it all his fault, and then he won't be back. But let's see how it plays out. Super wild card weekend. They don't have to worry about that. The Titans don't need to worry about that. Bills and Pats. Niners-Dallas is a really interesting game. Rams in Arizona, a very interesting game. Can you trust either one of those teams to make a deep run? I see flaws with both of those teams, but I do see upside. James Kelly and I will break it all down. The extended big head bets, but I'm moving it down to the podcast.
Break it down.
Really quickly, Wooden Laconic. This guy's back. I already said that he should change his handle to @idiotic. And what's he do? He comes right back. Rome pops a Viagra for blood flow purposes at the AFC Championship game. Boomer Esiason, quote, "Damn, Romy, you must really love broadcasting."
On the mound, I just looked at it and said, "Dude, you love the pitch, don't you?"
Been about 100 of those. Actually, I wonder who would say that. Boomer would. Phil Simms absolutely would. I'm trying to think between the two of those guys, and I love both those guys. They're a blast. They are so great to work with. Everybody is on that show. Everybody in front of the camera, everybody behind the scenes. It probably is my favorite show to work on. No offense, all of you on the other side of the glass. I'm looking at you, Rit. I don't know who would bust me up first with that, Phil or Boomer. They're both really good. Phil is really good at busting chops, but in the best way. Phil and Boomer, both amazing guys. So is the coach, so is Nate, so is JB. All great. When we come back, the third hour is open except for the last segment. Chris Mundy is the EP of the TV show Ozark. But I've got two open segments in front of that. Stay tuned.